Welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer James Platy. One in four Americans experience mental illness disorder in any given year. So what are the best ways to help them, and why are so many Americans struggling this way? To dig into that, I'm joined by Carol Kivler. She is the president of Kivler Communications, the founder of Courageous Recovery, a nonprofit consumer advocacy group, and the author of the new book, The ABCs of Recovery from Mental Illness, which you can find at Amazon.com. Carol, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
So tell me, what do you think is behind this huge number of Americans that are right now suffering from mental disorders?
Well, I think there's a number of things. I think that you're talking about a society that has just gotten quicker and quicker paced, a society that everybody wants a quick fix to everything. I think that the pressure of life today is a lot different than it has been in the past, and more importantly, I think that we're able to diagnose these disorders much more readily than we have in years past.
Well, it seems like in the U.S., the way we manage our mental illnesses is through medication.
Yeah.
Do you think that is the proper approach, or are we kind of relying on that too much?
I think we're relying on that too much. Medication is surely part of the treatment plan, but it is not the only part of the treatment plan. Besides medication and therapy, talk therapy, which can be very helpful in getting a person into a period of recovery, you need lifestyle changes such as sleep protection and looking at what your sleep rhythms are like. You need to think about what are your stress coping mechanisms? Are you tapping into those? Are you exercising? Because number one, exercise is the number one component of any treatment plan because of the endorphins, the mood elevators that exercise allows us to have in our bloodstream after exercise.
I'm talking to Carol Kivler. She is the founder of Courageous Recovery, a nonprofit consumer advocacy organization. She's the author of the new book, The ABCs of Recovery from Mental Illness. Find that at Amazon.com and her website, CourageousRecovery.com. So, Carol, how does someone fall into a mental illness generally? Is it something that anybody could get triggered into through some kind of a traumatic event in their life, or is there typically a biological likelihood that you will be mentally ill at some point?
Well, it's a combination of both. Trauma can trigger someone that has a predisposition towards a mental health disorder. There's a large genetic component to depression, to bipolar disorder, to even schizophrenia. But I think what we're going to see in the future is you're going to see people, because of the genetic component, being at least having an awareness. I will tell you, Mike, that it caught me off guard. I was 40 years old. I had never had depression before, and it brought me to my knees.
I see. Now, yourself, then, you had depression. How did you become, I guess, aware that you were going through this, and how long do you think you were experiencing depression without even knowing it?
Well, it just doesn't come on one day. All right, it's a slow process of things being disturbed in your routine, such as mine started with sleep disruption, and then during this sleep, I was having thoughts going over the same kind of issues over and over again without any kind of solution, which led to insomnia. The insomnia then led to I was losing weight at an alarming rate without even trying to lose weight. After the insomnia checks in, the loss of the weight, then comes the loss of self-esteem. So I'm thinking, well, I'm a phony. I mean, I was a college professor when this happened to me. So I'm a fake and a phony up there, although I had taught for 20 years the same topic. So all of a sudden, I had no confidence. Then from the lack of confidence goes a feeling of complete hopelessness, that this was never going to go away. I was never going to feel better, which then leads to suicidal ideation. So you can see that there are levels. One just keeps building on the next. Did I know I was depressed? No. I was going to the doctor looking for a physical ailment when the doctor finally said to me that I really believe you need to see a psychiatrist. I think you're suffering from a chemical imbalance. Well, first he said, I think you're struggling with depression. And the first thing I said to him was, what do I have to be depressed about?
Now, you said this happened when you were 40. Mm-hmm. Looking back, what was it that happened that kind of started this process, do you think?
There was nothing that was going on in my family circle. There were no financial issues, no relationship issues, no children health issues. It just, for some reason, whether my hormones changed within my body and triggered it. Looking back, we knew that I was a very nervous child. I had a lot of anxiety as a child. I was a worrier, which is a precursor. I mean, did I know that? No, not at all. But that was a precursor that there was some underlying root cause of all that anxiety.
And what about people around you? Were they aware that something was changing?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I mean, I was a shell of myself. They wanted to know what the heck happened to Carol Kivler. Where did that vivacious personality go? I mean, I was isolating. I was withdrawn. I was a shell of the person I had once been. And then getting going to the doctor, finding out that, okay, we're going to start antidepressants. I was so happy when the doctor finally said, okay, this is what you have, and now we can do something about it. The problem was, to do something about it, most of the medications take about 6 weeks for them to really, for you to see any kind of an improvement. And I just kept getting worse and worse and worse. So finally, I needed to be hospitalized.
No kidding. So what was the process then of your own recovery? How did it begin?
It began by being hospitalized. I mean, I was suicidal. I had a plan. I didn't act on my plan, but I did have a plan. I was hospitalized in a lockdown ward in a psychiatric hospital. I was doused with a lot of medications I call my cocktails. Within 24 days in the lockdown ward, nothing was really working for me, so they recommended a treatment option that in my head was barbaric, and that was electroconvulsive therapy, better known as shock therapy. And for me, shock therapy was absolutely my silver bullet and my ladder out of the pit of hell of depression. And for me, many people will say to me, oh, my gosh, they still do ECT. ECT is received by a million people worldwide on any given year, 100,000 alone in the United States. And it is it's a treatment that is not the first line of defense, but it's a treatment when people are not getting any kind of relief from medication or talk therapy.
And now, in terms of managing this, this depression, I mean, I guess the concern is that once you go through a very deep depressive episode, is that it could return at some point.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that?
Yeah, mine returned three different times after my first bout with depression. Well, I sought help immediately, knowing we knew what happened during the first one. So the second one, we immediately went back to the doctors. I was immediately hospitalized again. So, and had more shock therapy. Just knowing not the triggers, but more importantly, what are the signs for me? I have specific signs. If I have more than three nights of disturbed sleep with ruminating thoughts, something is going on in my system, which means I got to get myself to the doctor immediately. They've never been able to stop my slip into depression once it starts. I have heard where other people, they get to the doctor, they increase medication, and they're able to hold off not going into the hospital. I have not been that fortunate. Every time I've had a depression, and it has been four, I've had to be in the hospital with more shock therapy.
And what are your views on the larger issue of depression in the U.S.? I guess for most people, it's something that's not quite as deep, but, they are medicated. Antidepressants are now very popular. Do you think that most people that are considered depressed may not necessarily be so?
I really can't respond to that question. Only I'm not a medical professional, so I really can't respond to that. I can only respond to the people that I come in contact with that call me that are struggling. And the ones that I speak to, they're dealing with severe depression. And severe depression is not it's not grief. It's not a light sadness. It's a all-consuming disease that literally steals you away from life.
Bottom line, though, you're saying it's important to be very aware of your patterns, of the tendencies to potentially fall back into a bad state.
Oh, absolutely. Because as I said, it's not a curable illness, but it's a manageable illness. And like any any illness, you need to like make lifestyle changes. If you have high cholesterol, you make lifestyle changes. If you have diabetes, you've got to do something about it. Well, this is no different in illness. Unfortunately, it's the most misunderstood illness, because you can't see. You can't see a broken bone. You can't see numbers on your, you know, your cholesterol level. So it's an illness, you know, it's we're dealing with the brain, the last part of our body that we're starting to really get to know what it is. And because the brain is as complicated as it is, it's going to take years for them to unravel some of the uncertainties about this illness.
Well, mental health disorder is something one in four Americans struggle with every year. Carol Kivler, she's the founder of Courageous Recovery. You can check out her new book, The ABCs of Recovery from Mental Illness. That's at Amazon.com. Also, her website, CourageousRecovery.com. Carol, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for this opportunity.
And we're coming right back. I'm Michael Cohen, and this is 1320 WILS.